always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
In the playoffs, he played rotation minutes.
Yeah, and I thought the playoffs were, you know, a little over his head, but I thought he looked fine in the regular season. I actually think he developed quite nicely this year, and I'm looking forward to like what he might look like next season. And like you said, it's bullshit. Like them like throwing out there, well, you know, really, like, come on, you know, we've done right, yeah. But you haven't. The ways that like you haven't is by drafting right Jalen Hurts.
You did that
for
your
place.
Own interests as well. So don't frame it as like you just did that for LeBron.
But like also like they you really want to do right by LeBron? Don't draft Jalen Hutchefino in the first place. Use that draft pick on a win now player who gives LeBron an opportunity to win so the morons from Boston aren't having some stupid conversation about whether or not LeBron's tenure with the Lakers is a failure. Don't draft Dalton Kincaid. Use that draft pick on a player that you know can help you win right now. Go out and get that rotation big that Anthony Davis had been asking for, who would have helped you when Luka Doncic showed up to the team. Like this whole conversation about like, did the Lakers do enough by also, by the way, this is the same organization that gave Kobe his post Achilles contract and patted themselves on the back for it when LeBron signed and said, like, the reason LeBron came here is because of how we treat superstars, no matter what stage of their career they happen to be at. Bullshit, dude. I've watched this with LeBron. You've wasted and all of our time over the last few years waiting for this dude to get old enough that you could finally give up on his prime. Like, this is this is the part of covering this team that drives me nuts. It's like how obtuse they require everybody to have to be in order to follow their logic.
Well, and also I think this is a good point to circle back to like the parlor game that the Lakers were playing. And like, I do think that like some important context here is that this is a way that media members and teams talk all the time. They talk about like values for guys and like stuff like that. And like, you know, it's like, hey, you know, you're coming through town and like you run into this assistant GM or scout or whoever that you know. And it's like, you know, hey, let's gossip about the league because everybody's an NBA nerd. It's an easy thing to talk about, you know, whatever.
Yep.
And so I'm not saying like LeBron is not the only guy. I'm sure that the Lakers like,
I was just talking the other day to an executive about like what number should Austin be at.
Exactly. Like, you know, what number should so-and-so be at is a standard parlor game across the league. But if you are walking around at every Lakers home game and you are asking media that comes through and you're like, yeah, but like, come on, let's evaluate LeBron as if he wasn't LeBron. Okay. Like how good is he actually now? Right. Like we should probably be like, we should get him for the minimum. I don't know. And then like, you can't do that. And then not expect that to get back to him and be, you know, sort of also like, because you're literally talking to the gossips of the league, the media, while you're doing
our job.
So you know that's going to get around and you know that like that's going to get back to clutch and it's going to get back to LeBron and whatever. And it is indicative of a pattern that you've been talking about of them just sort of like waiting to victory lap, finally being right about him being old. And I think that it is so funny that the year that they were finally sort of right for like a couple weeks, he still ended up the year as the best player on the roster because Luka was out and like Austin was coming back from injury and LeBron was like arguably the best player in that series that they just lost for like several games of it at least, and
won them series,
the two-time reigning MVP. And it's just like so funny that like after all of that, Rob's like, yeah, you know, obviously LeBron could do whatever he wants, but we would love him back. We love LeBron. Come on,
yeah, who
you
wouldn't want LeBron?
I never called him little mid-level before a game. You know,
yeah, it's. Well, it's also like you can't be so sloppy about this that it becomes like it's now known or that it can be eventually reported on, you know? Like if you're going to do this, you do it in house and you keep it as buttoned up as you can possibly keep it. And you, look, if they are capable, Harrison, we know this, of keeping things playing things close enough to the vest that that nobody finds out about it, i.e. the Luka trade.
No, that's them trying to gin up this narrative that like LeBron should take a pay cut, get the media talking about it so that like you can sort of manufacture fan consent.
Right. Also, to try to separate LeBron from the things that he has done for this organization is frankly offensive, because he came to the Lakers in the first place when they are at their absolute lowest organizationally, the lowest point in Lakers franchise history. He shows up. They had, you had owners trying to, attempting coups against other owners. You have Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka stepping into positions they've never held before. You have, nobody has any earthly idea what they should be doing with that organization at that point. LeBron says, you know what? Screw it. I want to be a Laker anyway. Whether we want to tie it back to Space Jam 2 or his other projects, whatever, he made the decision to go to the Lakers, and not only that, like helped facilitate them turning a mid-tier young core at the time into Anthony Davis, and those two guys go out and win you a championship. And frankly, like that following year, I will go to my grave believing in the roster that they went into the following year with. They just happened to play that next season, five business days later, and everybody was exhausted. And so like, I don't know, man, I know that
the whole team got COVID and LeBron got undercut and Anthony Davis messed up his groin because they had the short turnaround and whatever. It's just like, there were so many what ifs with that season, but it's like they really could have repeated.
Yeah. And so like this notion that they're telling people brazenly enough that it got out, but this notion that they're telling people, hey, just remove LeBron from the situation, remove the name from this situation. If anything, Harrison, if anything, let's say it is just a, what did David Benjamin call him? A 6'9", 250 pound skills vessel. Let's say that is actually the case here. That player, Harrison, if he didn't have the other ties that are keeping him in LA or trying to play, with Bronny or trying to finish out his career on a contending team, like if you remove those factors from this, that player probably makes a hell of a lot more money than the Lakers are getting ready to pay LeBron James. Like if they actually,
especially if they can sell jerseys.
Yeah, like if this got like if it's just a matter of like, that 6'9", 250 pound player who just last season was an all NBA player, by the way, like if it's that player, that guy probably goes out and gets more money. The fact of the matter is the Lakers are benefiting from the fact that that LeBron needs the Lakers too, And so like not acknowledging that and not acknowledging everything that he has done for this organization is offensive. It's absolutely insane.
Well, it goes back to like the petty bullshit from like earlier in the year where there was like, the story on like, where Jeannie was talking about like, why aren't Rob Pelinka and Kurt Rambis getting more credit for this title and, like complaining about like that just like ownership, not getting the amount of credit that they feel like they deserve. And it's like, then they turn around and because they're like mad that they don't feel like they're getting that credit. They're like questioning one of the people who deserves it objectively far more than they do. And so how annoying that must be to LeBron, it would be right. One thing, like if they were like complaining, they're like, I feel like Alex Caruso got a little too much credit. It's like, okay, like that wouldn't like ring as hollow to me. It's like, the GM is obviously an important position, whatever, but it's like the star of the team and the engine is not the guy who you're like, who I think is more important than him. I think the GM.
Right.
We want to remove names from things like, remove Rob's connection to Kobe and let's evaluate his resume and how much basketball value he's brought to the organization. And would he still be employed if there was not the name value attached there? And my guess is probably no.
Right. And that's where like it's the combination of not just the parlor game here and what you're actually asking people to do in removing LeBron James from that equation there, but also doing it so sloppily that it got out is just, what are you doing, man? And again, this is an organization that prided itself for how it treated Magic Johnson, prided itself on how it treated Kareem and Kobe. Let's not mention Powell, who they tried to trade for like three straight years. And
they're good
like,
now. It's all good. It's fine. They traded him seven times, but you know, it's all then backed out, but it's all right. It's all good.
Yeah.
Powell's really nice. He's fine.
And they, you know, like here's that opportunity to do that again here with LeBron and, you know, I hope this doesn't get aggregated because the context behind it is complicated, but I had somebody tell me that like fairly frequently, you will hear in the hallways of that building from people high up in that organization when LeBron would do something, you know, they would say, Kobe would never. And LeBron is constantly compared to Kobe's ghost or the mythology of Kobe. And that is one of the several sources of kind of tension that exists there is like how, if you're LeBron, how do you possibly compete with the ghost of Kobe? How do you possibly, he's been competing with the ghost of Michael Jordan his whole life. And now in his own organization that he plays for, won a championship for, he's being asked to do that again with Kobe. And I think, you know, the whole like, you know, Russell Westbrook thing and the way that it went down gave everybody there the excuse to say like, oh, Kobe would have never sold us out the way that LeBron did throughout that entire, when really the people who sold anybody out was Rob, who kept on telling anybody who would listen to him, you know, oh, well, you know, Clutch really, really, really wanted Russ, right? You know, how long have you and I been fighting against that narrative that was just
when he was walking around at media day that year, like talking about like, I think this is like the greatest roster I've ever put together, and like polling media members who, and like arguing with them if they didn't agree, yeah, and being like, just walking around, like, do you think that this is the best roster I've ever built? And just like looking for that praise, and then just, you know, to midseason be like, well, I mean, LeBron made us do that stupid shit. That wasn't my fault.
Right. And the only,
and person, I'm not saying LeBron wasn't involved, but again, you're the GM. Your job is to say no. If you, otherwise, why are you there? You know?
Right. Well, but the only person
falls on you,
the only person who has faced any actual accountability for those actions internally, right, has been LeBron. Rob hasn't worn any of that stuff, right? Like Rob has only accumulated more power since the Russell Westbrook trade, you know? And meanwhile, that trade and that entire situation has been used against LeBron as a reason for why they shouldn't commit more draft assets to him, right? This whole focus on optionality over the years, that's been a direct result of the disaster that the Russell Westbrook trade became. And if I'm LeBron, like, look, again, I'm on the record saying that I think LeBron needs the Lakers. And I think the thing that makes the most sense for all involved is for LeBron to return to the Lakers on a reasonable enough contract that he doesn't feel insulted, but that also gives the Lakers the opportunity to build out the roster that they want to build. Because if he goes anywhere else, he's going to be making significantly less than the Lakers would be paying him in this hypothetical, and have maybe less of a chance at winning a championship and on those other teams. And he would have on a team that is built for Luka, built for Austin, and is completely retooled to the extent that Rob Pelinka is telling everybody that he can. The other tricky thing here too, Harrison, with this entire LeBron situation, we'll move on to the JJ and Pelinka, you know, joint pressure here in a second. But the other like complicating factor here is that LeBron needs to make his decision quickly, because as long as he is a free agent and the Lakers have his bird rights, they do not have the cap space that they are running around telling everybody that they have, right? He has a cap hold of $50+ million for next year. And until he signs at whatever number, and this might honestly be why this has so quickly gone from, we really, really want him to like at least we employ Bronny. That decision that LeBron makes as far as like whether he's going to play and where he's going to play, that needs to be made in very short order, frankly, before the draft, when the Lakers really start getting ready to trade, like, because they, whenever they talk about the three draft picks that they can trade, it's on draft day. And the way that they would have those three picks is to, you know, agree to a trade and then draft that player for that team. And so, like, I don't know. We'll see how this all plays out. But this kind of stuff, like, this is what you see towards the end of a relationship. And this thing is ending, obviously, whether it's this summer, next summer, whenever it is, whether it's by way of LeBron leaving to play for another team or LeBron retiring. Another thing, like, that made me, that this all made me wonder about is, like, if he would just step away because he's not going to get the kind of money that he feels he should be making, no matter where he would play next year. But yeah, any final thoughts on that before we move to Rob and JJ's presser?
No, not really. I think we covered most of it. I just, like, it's like it always is with this stuff. It's like, I think, like, both sides are at least somewhat in the wrong, you know. It's like LeBron also, like, some of these grievances are, like, a little petty, but it's also like, I feel like in general, his are usually more justified than like the Lakers, which are like sour grapes over not getting enough credit for doing, like, a mediocre job.
Yes. Yeah. Honestly, the kind of people who care about credit typically aren't very good at their jobs.
And usually don't deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to JJ Redick and Rob Pelinka's joint presser yesterday. But before we do that, a quick reminder, today's show is brought to you in part on video by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get and make a $5 lineup and get $50 worth of free lineups instantly. We are, Harrison, unfortunately, at that time of year where the Lakers are no longer in it and we have to look for reasons to continue watching. Prize Picks helps with that. Like, these games become a lot more interesting. It's different for obviously us because we have to watch this and we do it for work or whatever. But if I didn't have to watch it for work and if I was looking for a reason to continue being the kind of invested as we are with Lakers games, Prize Picks helps make that happen. Few better rushes than, like, that moment where somebody grabs that, like, last rebound that gets your ticket over the finish line. And that little rush can be brought to you by Prize Picks. All right. So Rob and JJ spoke yesterday at length about this season and what they're looking to accomplish here moving forward. They used the phrase, I counted three different times, Rob saying to various reporters in different ways that he is proud of the work that the team did this year, but not satisfied. I thought that was a good turn of phrase from him. What was your kind of number one takeaway from listening to those guys speak about the season that just ended?
Well, we've already talked about my number one takeaway, which was very funny enough, the same as yours and your episode title yesterday. I mean, I was unaware of this. And then I watched the video of the press conference and I was like, my first thing that I texted you was like, man, this is crazy. LeBron actually got Rob to say he wants him back. And and then you sent me a screen grab of yesterday's episode show title being almost exactly that. And it was very funny. So that was my number one takeaway. But I think overall, my big overarching takeaway from it was Rob. I see that Johnny in the comments, he kept saying optionality. That's every Rob press conference. He always, you know, he's got to mention the optionality bingo in there. Flexibility is a good one. Flexibility to have optionality, you know. And
but it's like dimensionalizing the roster as well. Yeah.
You know, one thing that we've really talked about, we want to have thrust. One of my favorite Robisms.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say my biggest takeaway from the whole thing was Rob wants people to know that his job is hard and this plan that they're working on, that they've been working on, you know, maybe it won't work, but it could be really good. And he also, I think, like, very clearly wanted to get it out there, like, hey, like, it's not just me. Don't just blame me for everything that, like, happens and whatever. Like, look, I am staffing it out. Look, we're hiring. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say who, but we hired a bunch of people, and we're hiring two assistant GMs. And, you know, it's not just going to be me. So stop. It's the buck doesn't stop here. It stops right below me at the assistant GM. I mean, he wasn't actually saying that, but he was just making it clear that, like, there are going to be more voices in the room, so don't be mad at just me anymore.
The partnership, like, with Luka Doncic, and the partnership with Austin Reeves, and the partnership with JJ Redick, and like a new assortment of meat shields just in case things don't go particularly well.
Yeah. And, like, just being like, hey, you know, Mark Walter, like, he gave us all this money. Look at what we're investing in, the practice facility, you know, all this stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, again, we're spending money now. We're spending money just in case. Hey, we spent money. So, like, he was trying to get the mom and pop shop allegations out of there.
The thing that I found interesting on top of that stuff was his use of optionality and, like, the framing of it, right? Where over the last few years, when he's talked about optionality, and I talked about this yesterday on the show as well, but, like, when he's talked about optionality in the past, especially the recent past, it has been like optionality is the goal, right? You know, we want to remain flexible. We want to remain, you know, light on our feet and ready to pounce just in case something pops up or whatever. He can't frame it like that anymore. Like, the days of optionality being the goal inherently ended as soon as, you know, like, especially with last year very clearly being a gap year, it is now over. Like, the you know, you can no longer say, like, yeah, we, and he tried to, I did go back and rewatch one of his answers, and he talked about how because the Lakers can't build through the draft the way that, like, the Pistons or the Spurs or
his job's really hard, Anthony. It's really hard. He's not allowed to tank, and, like, all these other teams, they just have this easy route available to them where they just tank for a couple of years and they get a number one star. Rob had to go get it out the mud, you know. He had to trick his dumbest friend into sending him a star so they could continue to win on the fly.
Hey, that is no way to talk about future assistant GM Nico Harrison. But
you almost killed me, but I that would be so funny. I actually sort of hope they do it.
I feel like they would have to get investigated. They're not going to. Like, they would well, like, also, the league, like, would have to investigate them.
They're not going to put someone in the building who is going to get their star suspended on murder charges. So, like, I think
it's like, as soon as they hire Nico Harrison, like, report, Lakers ready to move heaven and earth to acquire Anthony Davis. Like, it's just like, I told you, we was going to get you out of there.
Bye, everyone.